Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the spat between Time Warner and CBS Viacom and look into the extraordinary arrogance of these giant multi-billion dollar corporations who are punishing the consumer they clearly don't care about while they play chicken with each other over how much they can gouge the public. Derek Turner, a research and policy analyst at Free Press and author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age, joins us to discuss the absence of competition and choice in the marketplace and the uselessness of the FCC and Congress as advocates for American citizens and consumers. Then we'll examine the extent to which today we are living in George Orwell's classic novel 1984. Lewis Beale, who writes on culture and film for the Los Angeles Times and Newsday, joins us to discuss his article at CNN, We're Living 1984 Today, and the similarities between the contemporary American surveillance state with the novels Doublethink, Newspeak, and Endless War of the dystopian future Orwell predicted in 1948. Then finally, one of the world's leading analysts on popular culture and media, Toby Miller, joins us in the studio. He is the chair of the Department of Media and Cultural Studies at the University of California, Riverside, and has just returned from teaching at the City University of London. We will discuss the role of the UK's Guardian in the Snowden WikiLeaks affair and how the American surveillance state is viewed from abroad. Joining us now is Derek Turner, who's a research and policy analyst at Free Press. He has written extensively on a wide range of media and technology issues and regularly testifies before Congress and the FCC. His reports have examined the state of broadband competition in the United States, the role of the Universal Service Fund, and the lack of female and minority media ownership. He's the author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. Welcome to Background Briefing, Derek Turner.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And here on the West Coast, as well as in New York and in Dallas and other markets, CBS has been blocked out by Time Warner Cable. And that involves both the number one rated TV network, CBS, and Showtime, which is owned by Viacom. So, in effect, what you have here is two giant multi-billion dollar companies, Time Warner and Viacom, having a spat between the two of them. And the public is being punished while they argue over how much they can gouge the public. I mean, why aren't people more outraged?
Yeah, I think people just, you know, become used to this and just complacent in thinking that they actually have no voice in this market. And for all intents and purposes, they really don't. This is one of the only markets where consumers can't say, I want to purchase this product, take my money. There might be plenty of consumers who want to watch CBS or who want to watch Showtime. And if they're a Time Warner customer, they can't do that right now. But the problem is, you know, both sides share a little bit of the blame here. CBS is trying to market its most valuable programming on CBS and Showtime and trying to use that ownership to raise the prices on less popular programming, like on the CW network. They own that. That's being blocked. The Smithsonian network is another one of their channels I think they pulled off. So, you know, the consumers really have no say here. I personally would pay for CBS if I was a Time Warner customer, but I would have no interest in the CW. I'd have no interest in the Smithsonian Channel. But other people may have the opposite preference. But in this market, consumers aren't allowed to express those preferences. And unfortunately, we increasingly see disputes like this. And, of course, the end result is your cable bill is going to be a lot more expensive next time you pay it.
And meanwhile, all of these corporations and their enablers in the Congress and in the press talk about our wonderful free market capitalist system. Where is the free market in this? We tried to cancel last night Time Warner, and we're on the phone for like 2 hours because we're so furious with them that why are they punishing us because they can't agree how much they want to gouge the public between the two of them, these giant corporations. Now we learn that DirecTV is now siding with Time Warner. So you don't even have an escape clause here. You don't even have a choice, let alone have a choice in the first place over which cable provider you have.
Well, and you raise a really great issue. Let's say you did try to cancel your Time Warner cable service. Odds are you probably are also a Time Warner broadband customer as well. So then you have to go through the hassle of trying to find an alternative provider. And in many parts of this country, there really is no equivalent provider to the types of service that a cable broadband line can bring you. So You're absolutely right. This kind of behavior has been enabled by folks in Congress who essentially have allowed the system to evolve where consumers have no voice, they're constantly gouged, and if they do want to try to vote with their feet, they have nowhere to run to. So this is the kind of stuff I think people are slowly starting to realize is becoming a problem. You know, certainly when companies like CBS are using the public's airwaves, but yet not letting the public have a voice or have a say in this, I think that's a big problem. And again, on the flip side, a company like Time Warner uses the public's right-of-way. They could not exist as a company unless they dug up our streets and put their wires in the ground. So the public really needs a stronger voice here, and unfortunately right now there's not really any champion for the public in Congress. If this was happening during football season, perhaps there'd be a few more outspoken members of Congress, but right now Congress is actually about to go on vacation for a month.
Well, they actually have gone on vacation for a month. And the last thing that they did on Friday was to pass a resolution for the 40th time to defund Obamacare for the 40th time. So that's their priority. So clearly the telecommunications business, and you're one of the people who monitor the telecommunications business, they're big in lobbying, aren't they, Derek Turner?
Oh, absolutely. By far the biggest the lobbying company out there is AT&T, followed closely behind by its cousins Verizon and Comcast and Time Warner and all the big telecom companies. And then the media companies like Viacom, CBS, Disney, they all are huge spenders in Washington and, you know, throw fundraisers around election cycles and things like that. And they're always a heavy presence up at the FCC where there's a constant revolving door problem there. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. This is one of those markets where money talks. People hardly have any voice in what's going on, even though these are our airwaves. These are our rights of way. And we really should, be trying to vote with our feet if we can. I would encourage folks out in the Los Angeles area, if you've got an antenna or the ability to stick up an antenna and you really want to watch CBS programming, I would try going that route. And, you know, if you don't watch a lot of the channels that are on your cable lineup, cancel it. There's plenty of alternatives online to get your entertainment, to get your fix. And I think if people do try to do what they can and vote with their feet when they can, maybe these companies will get the signal that, you know, we want our preferences to be catered to. We don't want to be force-fed a channel lineup of 200 channels we never watch. We don't want to, be the victims of these big corporate fights that we have no voice in. So, you know, if you do have the chance, you know, stick up an antenna and see CBS really wants you to get your TV that way, which is free.
Again, I'm speaking with Derek Turner, who's a research and policy analyst at Free Press. He has written extensively on a wide range of media and technology issues and regularly testifies before Congress and the FCC. His reports have examined the state of broadband competition in the United States, the role of the Universal Service Fund, and the lack of female and minority media ownership. He's the author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. Now, CBS have retaliated against Time Warner, who cut them off on Friday. They're suspending video episodes of their programming on CBS.com. So CBS are making it impossible for people to watch the shows that they produce online. And then I mentioned earlier that DirecTV are siding with Time Warner over a fee dispute with CBS. So again, these big corporations are playing chicken with each other at the expense of the public. They don't give a damn about the public, do they? They pretend to care. I've never seen more ads now from Time Warner on television about how wonderful they are. You know, they're just absolutely disgraceful what they're doing. And again, I'm wondering when there's going to be a consumer revolt.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you bring up CBS blocking their online content. I mean, to me, that's just, it's incredibly insulting to the consumer, because if you're a Time Warner customer and you don't subscribe to the cable package, you just subscribe to Time Warner's broadband, you're a cord cutter, for example. Why should you be impacted by this? You shouldn't be, and no one should be, but you certainly shouldn't be, because you have nothing to do. You're not a cable subscriber. So, you know, consumers are getting caught in the middle. There's really, nowhere for a consumer to turn, as far as they can't go to their local public utility commission to complain about this, because they'll say, go to Washington, talk to the FCC. If you ask the FCC, they'll tell you, well, Congress has really tied our hands on this. We can't do anything, which is somewhat true, but also a little bit of a embellishment. And you go to Congress, and Congress says this is a private matter, this is a free market issue, let it work itself out. So there really is nowhere for consumers to turn immediately. So you're absolutely right. I think people are just going to have to, you know, take to the streets, metaphorically, you know, take to Facebook, take to Twitter, take to social media, you know, tweet at these companies, tell them you don't like how either of them are behaving. You think they're all behaving like a bunch of spoiled little children, and you know, they really need to knock it off. And I think the sooner that people actually do start get outraged, do start to realize this is part of a pattern, part of a trend, you know, maybe these companies will wake up and realize that, you know, the consumer is the one that drives this. And if they cater to our interests, they'll make profit, and the consumers will be better off. Instead, they resort to these types of really childish tactics that show that they don't think there's any limit to how much they can anger the consumer, that they can keep doing it, and they'll suffer no consequence. Maybe that's true today. I think as the options online for entertainment grow, I think they're going to quickly realize that that's not the case.
Well, the fact that they can be so arrogant and so dismissive of the public indicates how much they've bought our politicians, who basically have given them a free hand. So the consumer and the citizen is the last priority for big corporations and for their hirelings in the Congress. But when you mentioned earlier, you know, in the situation where you'd got nowhere to turn, if you drop Time Warner, which I tried to do for 2 hours waiting on the phone last night, the alternative would be DirecTV. They are siding with Time Warner in any case, but then you'd lose your cable internet connection because they're bundled together. Now, the only choice that I would have there is to have to cancel both Time Warner and Time Warner on the internet. The choice then would be, the only choice I think I would have would be Verizon. And Verizon had a really good service there for a while called Fios, which is fiber optic. But then they stopped doing that. So there's nothing good about this. You know, we're paying more than any other country in the world for increasingly poorer and poorer service.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, I've been saying that there's really nowhere to turn, and you know, there's no hope in Washington. And you know, for the most part, that's true. And it's because this is one of those issues that's nonpartisan. In other words, both parties are happy to take the money from the big media companies and happy to ignore these problems when they arise. However, a couple of folks up there have gotten fed up with it. Senator John McCain has sponsored a bill Republican Senator John McCain has been joined by Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal. And they have a bill called the Television Consumer Freedom Act. And what that would do, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but the satellite companies, the cable companies, the media companies themselves, they all get some form of benefits from the government, some types of special regulations that benefit their businesses over smaller competitors. There's a whole host of these, and I'm sure no one's surprised to hear that once they think about it. Why are they spending all this money if they're not going to get any benefit out of it? So what he's done in his bill, Senator McCain, is tied those benefits so they're offering consumers the ability to buy these channels directly and individually and pick their channels that they want directly from these companies. So, you know, this bill, S-912, no one thinks it has a chance, but, you know, I think if people actually pick up the phone and call their congressman, call their congresswoman, senator, and tell them they want some choice here, they want the ability to exercise freedom, and they support this bill, you know, I think it actually is one of those things that's going to gain steam because it isn't a partisan issue. Being for consumers. So we strongly support this legislation and would like to see it pass and to see a world where consumers say, I'd like to buy CBS. I don't want to buy Fox News. You know, I don't want to buy CNN. I do want to buy National Geographic, and that's all I want. And, you know, if we get that market, I think we'll start to see programming that caters to people's actual interest and not caters to the lowest common denominator and a lot of the garbage that I think you see out there today.
And just in closing, why did Verizon drop Fios? Because Fios was bringing the United States up into line with, you know, after all, this is the country that invented the internet and has been slipping further and further behind because of these big monopolies who, in the name of free enterprise and competition, gouge the consumer and provide increasingly poorer and poorer service. Now, Fios seemed to be indicating the opposite, where they were going to give you the kind of high-speed internet connection that the Japanese and the South Koreans have, etc. But then they stopped it. What happened there?
Well, you know, it's just that sad story that I think is affecting, you know, almost all the industries in this country. And it's the story of short-term versus long-term gains. They started the fiber optic project under their former CEO, much to the objections of Wall Street, who were very, very concerned that this massive investment that Verizon was going to make would take maybe 3 to 5 years to recover. And that's what happened. It actually took about 5 years, and now the Fios, where they deployed it, is a pure profit center for them. But Wall Street absolutely did not want to see them invest any more money than they had to. And, you know, their stock took a beating when they first started doing Fios. And now they have a different CEO, and his philosophy is, let's just milk what we have left. Let's do wireless where it's much cheaper and we can make a lot bigger profit margins on it. And let's not do Fios anywhere else. And, you know, what we have left, if you have old DSL, well, that's what you'll get. And if you don't have anything, well, that's what you get. And, again, it's just the problem of the, you know, these companies are essentially providing us utility services. These are services we absolutely need in order to function in today's society. But they face no competition. And because of that, they face no incentive to invest. And they're free to gouge us and do as they will. And again, they cater to the interest of Wall Street, and Wall Street wants an instant return. Wall Street looks at the stock price every day, quarterly return. They don't want them to invest in a project that may take 3 to 5 years to earn a return on. And that's why America is going to be perpetually stuck behind our global counterparts when it comes to advances in technology.
Well, Derek Turner, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
I appreciate it.
Again, I've been speaking with Derek Turner, who's a research and policy analyst at Free Press. He has written extensively on a wide range of media and technology issues and regularly testifies before Congress and the FCC. His reports have examined the state of broadband competition in the United States, the role of the Universal Service Fund, and the lack of female and minority media ownership. He's the author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about how we are living in 1984.